anything out of the message tonight, the one thing you do get, you get away from that TV for a while. Amen? Because I am telling you, yeah, it's on. They rolled a camera in front of I don't know why they do that. Back in the day when Tom Landry was coaching, that's way back then, you know, there was kind of some decorum on the sideline. You know, a coach might get spooled up a little bit and raise his voice or shake his finger, but he didn't talk the way they talk today. Boy, I tell you what, it's an embarrassment for their team. It's an embarrassment for our city. You could tell what the brother's saying, and I feel sorry for his mother. I mean, this is a guy supposed to be a professional and be the coach of our team. I guess you just pray for Bill O'Brien. Pray that he gets saved. Amen. And God get a hold of him. No telling. He might be a great witness. He gets saved, and then just imagine if old J.J. Watt got saved, man. I'm telling you, there'd be some things happen. They might win a game or two. All right, take your Bibles and turn. Enough of that. Nehemiah chapter 3. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, finishing up verse 7 this morning, talking about love. And we find ourselves in kind of a series of messages on the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. And let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read here chapter 2, verse 20, and take it through chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 20, and take it through chapter 3, verse 1. Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, you got it there? Getting close? Got it? If you found that passage, just go to Psalms and head left. Okay? Nehemiah chapter 3, you found that this evening, would you say amen? Amen? All right, the Word of God reads this, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. Nehemiah, this is him speaking, he says, "Then answered them and said unto them, The God of heaven, He will prosper us, therefore we His servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." He's speaking to Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian herd. He's speaking to these three guys is who he's speaking to in verse 20. Now if you'll look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. And Lord, we thank You for all of Your Word. Lord, some of it is more tedious and more harder to get a hold of than other parts. But Lord, we thank You for all of it. And Lord, we pray that You just reveal us some implication here tonight, and help us make application to our hearts and to our lives. We pray we'd be more like Christ because of our attendance here tonight. Lord, we're thankful for the music tonight, and the songs and the praise and the worship. And Lord, we just pray now You begin to prepare our hearts as we talk about prayer requests and how we can intercede on behalf of others here in a little bit. Lord, we pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't know You, we pray if there's one whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, we pray that they would seek myself or one of these deacons or Sunday school teachers before they get off of this property tonight, Lord, and may they receive Christ if they're lost tonight. Lord, may no one leave this place without You, without being recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading. The Word of God may add His tremendous blessing to it as always. Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, we could attempt to read verses 2 through 32. And boy, that would be a lot of reading tonight. And I would encourage you, if you want to read it, read it. Read the whole book of Nehemiah. It's a great book. Not a bad book in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Nehemiah is a good one. Nehemiah chapter 3 is a roll call of faithfulness and valor. A roll call, man. We were singing about that Lamb's Book of Life. Well, here is a here's a book that it's got names in it, and it is talking about the faithfulness and valor of God's people. Amen? That encourages me. I want to tell you, God pays attention to what? He pays attention to what you do. He pays attention to what you don't do. Amen? But He really pays attention to what you do right here. So, Nehemiah chapter 3, a roll call of faithfulness and valor. This passage is proof that God takes note of what we do for His name's sake, for His glory. It is evidence that our labor in the Lord is never in what? It is never in vain, friend. Never in vain. Well, I'm just not getting the results I think I ought to get. It's never in vain. Well, I'm just not seeing what I think I... It is never in vain. Don't ever forget that. Even if we're not the wealthiest or the most powerful persons, God knows our names and He records our service. And buddy, it's recorded right here for all to see, for all eternity. God's inerrant word, these names recorded. Couple of points I want to share with you, make mention of about this chapter. I'm attempting to cover this chapter in about two messages, and so that's kind of a lot for me. We normally don't cover that much, but we're going to try to do it in two messages. Hopefully we get it done. But point number one, if you're taking notes with us this evening, any project undertaken for the Lord must be fully set apart to God. I mean, you got to set it apart. Now, hey, If you just want to do it in your flesh, if you just want to take the praise for it, if you just want to pat yourself on the back about it, then you go ahead and don't set it apart for the Lord. But if you want God to get the glory, if you want God to get the honor, right? If you want to lift Jesus Christ up, then friend, any project undertaken for the Lord must be fully set apart to God. Now, Nehemiah, in communicating to the naysayers, those in chapter 2 at the very end of it, verse 19, communicating to the naysayers, he proclaimed the work was set apart. Chapter 2, verse 20, we just read it. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he goes on, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel, sanctified, set apart, right? Every work, ministry, thing done for God must be dedicated, set apart for God's glory. Now, this is the hard part. We cannot set apart anything for the Lord until first our own lives have been prepared. Our own lives have been set apart. Our own lives are on a path of righteousness. Amen, church? Amen. We've got to get that step done first before we can even think about setting anything else apart. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be reminded of this passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Most folks want to hear about the gospel, and the gospel's good. You need to hear about it if you're lost. But I'm telling you, once you get saved, you have moved on from that point, friend. You're on to what? Being a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, to just give you a note here, the wall, the project, this thing around Jerusalem that they are in the process here of rebuilding. And just to give you a little context here, the city of Jerusalem, the walls, the gates have been what? They've all been torn down. The gates have been burned. And the leadership has been taken out of there, put in captivity. They've left a few folks to kind of keep things going, but there's no defenses. And there's no government. There's no, that might not be a bad thing, no government, but anything. It was a difficult thing here, right? And so they're trying to come back, and they've come back, and they're trying to get the city of God built back up. So that's kind of the context of what's going on here. Now, the whole wall, the whole project, when it is completed, when it is done, the entire wall is going to be dedicated in a ceremony of processions, a ceremony of songs, and a ceremony of sacrifices. We can read about that. We'll get there, chapter 12, verse 27 and following. That's coming. But the point is that any project undertaken for the Lord must be fully set apart to God. Amen? Number two tonight, every great work of God has to have, this is keen since the obvious, but we've got to make it, all right? Every great work of God has to have its beginning and its beginners. Somebody that's going to what? Step up. Somebody that's going to what? Going to respond to the Holy Spirit. Somebody that's what? Going to get behind the plow. Somebody that's what? Going to give. Somebody that's what? Going to do. Some what? Ministry. Somebody's got to what? Begin it. They got to get it going. Verse 1, Eliashib, the high priest, along with his fellow priests, they what? They began the rebuilding. And so the question is this. What great works need to be done in your life? What is torn down in your life that needs to be rebuilt? What great works need to be done perhaps in your marriage? What walls need to, what structures, what things need to be rebuilt? What about your church? What great walls need to be rebuilt in the church? What about the church when we think about the Western church where we live in America? Man, what great walls? What needs to happen in this church, right? Revival, right? Not just the local church, but all the church. Revival needs to happen. Amen? Well, friend, it's got to begin somewhere. It's got to begin with somebody. It's got to begin with somebody's, right? It's got to get going somewhere, somehow, some way. Who will begin? Who will begin? See, that's who we are. That's who the church is. That's who Christians are, man. We are people who are willing to step out in faith and begin. I love that about the church, right? I love that about the church. What a privilege it is to begin to rebuild, to be used for the glory of Almighty God, to be a living sacrifice. Isn't it a privilege tonight? Amen. It's a great privilege tonight. Hey, the victories in the church. The victories in the church. This season that's getting going right now, National Football League, this season. 3 years from now, we won't even know that the Texans got beat the first game. We won't even know. We won't even remember it. It'd be gone. But the victories of the church, recorded for eternity, friend. The victories of the church. There they are when somebody gets saved, right? Lamb's Book of Life forever, man. Victories of the church when Jesus is lifted up and lost people are drawn. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. As we think about every great work of God has to have its beginning and its beginners, kind of a sub-point to that is this. You do not have to be an expert in order to begin. You don't have to be an expert. As I studied this passage of Scripture, as I went through this and looked at all, I mean, read it through one more time. As I studied this passage of Scripture, I was struck that there are no expert builders listed in the City of God builders, in this group of volunteers, in this City of God volunteer contractors. There is no expert anywhere. Not that they bring out. Not that they say, hey, this guy really knows how to do it. This guy's licensed. He's ordained to build walls. I don't see that anywhere. Right? There were priests. There were priests' helpers. There were goldsmiths. There were perfume makers. Women were included in the crew to rebuild the wall. Amen, ladies? That's right. But no expert builders. No super-duper carpenters were named. I mean, you've got a cupbearer that's overseeing the whole thing. Go figure, right? There were 40 crews working side by side in 45 sections. Dramatically different groups of people that have come together for God's cause. These groups were suddenly mobilized into community. They were galvanized into a common cause. These people were shaken out of their own self-centered concerns to share in something that was bigger than themselves. That is what the kingdom of God is all about, getting my eyes off of me, getting my eyes on what God wants to do with me and those around me, and doing something great for Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Every great work of God has to have its beginning and its beginners. Any project undertaken for the Lord must be fully set apart to God. Number three tonight, everyone does not perform the same work, but everyone should be contributing to the overall goal. Not everybody does the same work. Not everybody's doing the same work. These different crews and these different sections of the wall, not everybody's doing the same work. But everybody is pulling their own weight. Everybody is contributing to the overall goal. Everybody's got some sweat and some skin and some owies and some hurts and some pains. Everybody's invested. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. This is another example of the use of our giftedness, our energy, our talents for the good of the entire body. Right? And so, do the work that God wants you to be doing. And I realize, Sunday night, you know, Pastor Lee, you're speaking to the choir, right? We are doing the work. I mean, we're the workers in the church. People come here on Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, we're the folks getting it done. But you know what you're getting tonight? You're getting the truth. You're getting the truth to hold one another accountable. Amen? To hold each other accountable, right? That's what you're getting the truth to be an encourager to one another. Hey, man, we all ought to be what? Contributing to the work. Right? Man, if we're saved and in the church, we ought to be shouldered up, partnered together, doing it for God. Amen? Sunday school ought to be what? Sunday school ought to be the same attendance. I had a church in Kansas. That thing ran as many in Sunday school as it ran in worship. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, they were going to come to Sunday school. I mean, you couldn't keep them people away. Ice on the ground, ain't no big deal. We're having Sunday school. A real cold, ain't no big deal. We're going to have Sunday school. I mean, they were just Sunday school fanatical about it. It's a good thing to be Sunday school fanatical. We need to be bit by the Sunday school fanatical bug here. Amen? Amen. You hold one another accountable to be that, right? Bite your neighbor Sunday morning in church. So I'm going to give you a Sunday school fanatical bite, right? Don't do that. Amen? All right. But anyway, do the work that God wants you to be doing. Well, Pastor, I'm just not quite sure what God wants me to be doing. Pray. You pray to God Almighty to show you. You just pray. Pray it out. Pray it out and then jump in somewhere to see where you fit. And it don't have to be a perfect fit. You just got to fit a little bit. Amen? And just get with it, serving God. It's a great feeling to serve. I can't do much, man. You can pray. Well, yeah, I can pray, but you can start a prayer ministry, man. You can start a prayer wall. I had one church. They had it was the same church. Different church. Different church. I've been doing this 23 years. I'm losing track. This one church, you walk up to the front of the property, right? And there was a door. You know where it led to? A prayer room. You went into the door, into the prayer room. There was a place to kneel. Prayer requests had been placed in there. Right? And there was a log sheet. You would log when you walked in. You would log when you walked out. Right? And you would go in there. And well, what if you had to go to the restroom? Well, hopefully you went to the restroom before you needed to come to the prayer room because you couldn't get in the church, couldn't get in the Sunday school wing to go to the restroom. That room was just for what? Prayer. It was left unlocked 24/7. Never had any vandalism. Never had anybody come in there and spray paint the walls or use the restroom on the floor. It was kept pristine, right? The police officers knew they were being prayed for, and buddy, they checked it, right? No riffraff messing around with that thing. So you can pray. You can't go like you used to go, but man, you can still pray. Hey, God's got a prayer ministry for you. Amen? That's plenty to pray for in this day, is there not? Oh, amen, right? Jump in where you see where you somewhat fit and then get going. But let me tell you about the good news. This is the good news about working in the church. We'll work till Jesus comes, amen? We'll work. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. This is the good news about working, contributing, building for God, getting in on what God's doing in the church. This is the good news about it. When you're doing that, you have less time to be critical about other people's work. Amen? Well, that's just a wonderful thing about getting busy with God. You no longer got your eyes and your ears tuned on everybody else and what you think they can do better. You're doing your deal. It'll set you free. Amen? Instead of you trying to fix everybody else's work, you've got your own work to worry about. Amen? Hallelujah. That's when revival breaks out. Amen? When people, that's right, they get their eyes on their own work. That's right. Well, let's think about this. Everyone does not perform the same work, but everyone is contributing to the overall goal. How did they do it here in Nehemiah chapter 3? If you'll read that chapter tonight or read it in the morning whenever you have your prayer time or your Bible reading time, you will find over and over again that the Word of God says, next unto Him. Next unto Him. Or next unto them. Next unto them. Over and over again. Next. They were what? Buddy, they were shoulder to shoulder. Next. Right? Hey, man, what are you doing? I'm digging. What are you doing? I'm slinging mortar and putting up stones. Hey, what are you doing? I'm carrying off trash. But they were next to one another. They were what? Linked arm in arm. They were what? They were yoked together in ministry. They were what? There were no gaps around the wall. No gaps. You had men and women working. You had all ages. You had multiple generations in there, shoulder to shoulder. Don't you love that? Amen. All age groups together. We've got all age groups here this evening. Isn't that great? Right? All age groups. Here they are. Multiple generations, different socioeconomic backgrounds, all kinds of trades and vocations. You had merchants. You had shopkeepers. You had temple servants. You had farmers. You had herdsmen. You had tanners. You probably had some candlestick makers thrown in there for good measure. Amen? You had a little bit of everything. And not only that, they had regional differences. What do you mean by regional differences? Well, it was not just Jerusalem's citizens. It wasn't just the citizens of Jerusalem who rebuilt the walls. You had volunteers that came from the different outlying areas around Jerusalem, seven distinct areas to be exact. They all saw the value in supporting God's kingdom program. Amen. Man, a church is a good church when they're not all alike. People are different. But they love each other enough to put up with each other's quirks, each other's differences, each other's idiosyncrasies. They love each other enough. Why? Because they love Jesus more. Amen? And they want to bring their energy and their money and their time together to do something substantial for the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what these people saw. That's what they had invested into here. They all saw the value in supporting God's kingdom program. The point is they put aside their differences to get the job done. Boy, that's revival. Let's get the job done, right? Well, Pastor, what was the job? What did they do? Over and over again in this passage here, chapter 3, verses 1 through 32, it says they repaired. Repaired. This word repaired dominates the chapter. Next to, unto them, next unto them. That's a big theme that runs through the chapter, but after that is this word repaired. It dominates the chapter. It's a general term, the term repaired, meaning to make firm or strong. Repaired does not necessarily mean restoring everything as before, right? No, we're just trying to make it strong and firm. We're just trying to make it what? Usable. We're just trying to make it what? Defensible. We're just trying to make it what? Trying to make it right. Repaired. If you'll study Nehemiah and what he did, Nehemiah actually shortened the wall. he shortened the wall due to all the debris, man. I mean, it was just a field of debris that they were starting with. And here they are, they're taking these stones and they're reshaping them and they're remortaring them and they're reworking them and they're getting them all in. And he shortened it a little bit, and then he kept the line more on high ground. The old wall kind of went down on low ground, which meant they had to build it higher. He stayed on high ground, and he built the wall a little bit lower, right? But he repaired that thing, and he made it what? He made it right, or they made it right. Amen, church? Lastly tonight, any project undertaken for the Lord must be fully set apart to God. Every great work of God has to have its beginning and its beginners. Everyone does not perform the same work, but everyone is contributing to the overall goal. And then finally tonight, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if ministry was contagious for almost everybody? Wouldn't it be great if ministry, oh man, people saw you ministering and they just said, well, I want to do what you're doing. Will you show me what you're doing? Help me do what you're doing. Man, that is awesome. I want to do that. Man, ministry in this passage is contagious for almost everybody. For almost everybody. Look at verse 5. There is a holdout. There is a holdout here. And next unto them, the Tekoites, repaired. But their nobles, what does it say there? Put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Wow. Friend, that is recorded for all eternity. All eternity. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Hey, why wouldn't they work? Why wouldn't they put their necks to it? Why wouldn't, like as we talked about today, they wouldn't get under the load and bear it? They wouldn't hupomone? Well, what's the deal here? Is it a case of divided loyalties? Is that why they're not willing to work? You know, they're really not on board with God's program. They've kind of got one foot in God's program, but they got another foot out here in the world. Is that why? Or is it a pride thing? Is it a pride thing? I mean, we know that you can't serve God and mammon, right? Can't serve both. Or maybe they refused to work simply because of pride. You know, they just thought they were too what? Well, they were just too noble. They were just too high up there above everybody else. They were just too, what's the word? Let's just leave it at prideful. Amen? Too prideful of themselves. As though manual labor was beneath them. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting. Tekoa was a town 10 to 12 miles southeast of Jerusalem in Judah. This area was largely a wilderness on the range of hills which rise near Hebron and stretch toward the Dead Sea. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because this area was easily attacked. I mean, man, when word come that they were coming into the land, and they, you know, they were, some army was coming, whoever the army was, to take, to pillage, to rob, to steal. Tekoa was a logical choice to go in there because it was so hard to defend. It was so easy to take. So everybody in Tekoa, when they would hear that something was coming, they would be able to go to Jerusalem for what? For defense. To hunker down in, so to speak. So you would think that these Tekoites, these nobles, would be willing to build their people's defense. But they won't do it. They won't do it. The question is, what are the results when we refuse to do our work? What are the results when we refuse to do our ministry? What are the results when we refuse to link arm in arm? What are the results when we refuse to put our petty differences aside? What are the results? Oh, there's a result. There's plenty of results. Let me tell you something. I believe God takes note of our slothfulness, of our unwillingness. These nobles refusal to work is recorded for all eternity in the Word of God. What are the results when we refuse to do our work, to do our ministry? You know what? Somebody else has to do extra labor. Somebody else has to do extra work, extra ministry. Somebody else has to do it, or what, Pastor? Or it doesn't get done. It just doesn't get done. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27, chapter 3, verse 27. After them, the Tekoites, here they are again. We read about them in verse 5, we see them again in verse 27. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. These guys were busy. Their labor would have been divided had the nobles helped out. But the nobles didn't. Somebody else had to do extra labor. Amen? So what? Ministry, pray. Pray that ministry is contagious for almost all at New Hope Baptist Church. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into our prayer time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we're thankful that we can take a swing at chapter 3 tonight of Nehemiah. Lord, I pray that in this place of ministry, in this time and space that you've given us as a church home, as a church family, Lord, I pray that this would be a contagious place to serve. Lord, I pray that you would send folks here that want to do your will and do your word. Lord, I pray that you would raise others up within the congregation, Lord, to start ministries, to be a part of ministries, to help staff existing ministries. Lord, I pray this would be a place of work until you come back, a place of service, a place of ministry. We make no apologies for that, Lord. We don't try to sugarcoat that. This world is dying and going to hell. And Lord, we are here to lift you up that you might save some. And Lord, strengthen us, undergird us, help us, anoint our efforts, and may you get the praise and the glory for what is done in this place. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's think about our prayer list tonight. Yes, ma'am.